one verse of Scripture. It's a very short verse of Scripture. Some of you know enough to view that with fear and trepidation. For those of you who don't understand those comments, it's the preacher's ruler. The rule of the preacher is the longer the Scripture, the shorter the sermon. The shorter the Scripture, the... Okay, well, we'll try our best to maybe break the rule this morning. All God's people said...
Amen.
Right. Thank you very much. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Today we continue in a series through Lent where I am talking to you about classic spiritual disciplines. Disciplines like prayer. Last week, meditation, weeks before. And today, the topic is silence and solitude. Silence and solitude are two classic spiritual disciplines, and they are separate disciplines, although they are often practiced together, but they don't have to be. Spiritual disciplines, as we have been talking, are practices. They are things that you do or things that you abstain from doing for the purpose of training your spirit to turn toward God. We talked about meditation, concentrating, focusing your thought on a verse of Scripture, a line from a song, an attribute of God, something that will focus your attention on God through repetition, through saying that verse in your mind or even out loud over and over again to focus your thoughts. We've talked about prayer and the various types, but in particular, the discipline of prayer, making time to talk to God for yourself in private. And today we come to what may seem the absolute opposite of that, and in truth it is. Silence and solitude. We live in a world that knows very little of either of these. And we live in a world which actively shuns both. And in fact, I suspect that's because we as human beings, the vast majority of us, are wired not to like too much silence and not to want solitude. I think one of the most abject fears of human beings is to be alone. Now, I don't mean being alone like I'm in my room and Michelle's in the living room, right? I don't mean alone like I'm in the shop and somebody's in the house. I mean we fear being alone, stranded on the side of the road at night, with all those people passing by, but alone, isolated either from people or through circumstance. We fear aloneness. We don't like silence. We fill dead air. We fill space with sound. I don't know how many times in my life I've knocked on somebody's door, knocked on somebody's door, finally made it around to the back, knocked on the back door, tapped on the window, and finally got somebody's attention because they're cleaning house, they're in the bedroom working, they're in the office carrying on, and the TV's blasting away in one room and the radio's going in another, all because we don't like silence. We don't like dead air. I have been on staff, believe it or not, many years ago. I've been reminded that there were years before Fly this week as I messed with a little video. Some of y'all saw it here in Sunday school. The rest of you may get a peek in Mother's Day. But was on staff at a church, and I can actively remember having staff meetings about planning Sunday morning services. And one of the goals was to eliminate quiet time. There was supposed to be no gap between one person talking and the next person being in their place ready to start. Everything was supposed to move from start to finish in sort of a well-oiled machine, and you didn't want to have any dead space because dead space was bad. I'm not all that worried about dead space anymore. Sometimes God happens in dead space. And maybe that is why the disciplines of silence and solitude are so important. I will suggest other reasons why they are very important today, and hopefully I will convince you to at least try a little silence and a little solitude. Now, there is a difference in solitude and loneliness. Loneliness happens because you feel isolated, because you feel like no one is around or no one cares. Solitude, especially the spiritual discipline of solitude, is a willful, intentional choice to go be alone with God. It is not to go be alone, it is to go be alone with God. In that sense, solitude is a discipline. It is something you must do actively. And in order to practice solitude, it's not like many of the other spiritual disciplines. It's certainly not like the first two we've talked about. It is not something you can just sort of do along the way. It requires intentionality, it requires choice, it requires planning, and it requires a specialized environment. Because the goal of solitude is to go be alone with God. These things have no place when you are practicing solitude. I'm beginning to wonder whether they have any place in church, quite frankly, since where the wire seems to reach us these days, or the wireless seems to reach us these days. But certainly they have no place in the practice of solitude. And that requires some planning in these days and times when we are expected to be accessible always. Solitude. Many times we think of solitude as a spiritual discipline, and if you've thought about it or seen it, you've probably associated it with monks in a monastery. And that is one of the classic spiritual disciplines that certain kinds of monks, in particular Trappist monks, specialize in. They go be alone with God. They may stay in their chamber and only have meals brought to them. That's the kind of solitude I'm talking about when I talk about the spiritual discipline of solitude, choosing to be alone with God. There are some special considerations around solitude that I would like to draw your attention to, especially if you are here and you are married, because there is strict instruction in the Word of God about being separated from your spouse. You'll find that in the book of Corinthians. And if you are as a couple, if you choose as an individual to practice the discipline of solitude, you need your husband or your wife's agreement to go be alone for a while. And you should come back together again on schedule and plan. Solitude. Go be alone with God. There are some practical difficulties with solitude that I want to clue you in on. You will find that if you choose to go be alone with God, your brain will be crowded with all of the things that you're not doing. That's the busyness of the world we live in. That's the distracted nature of our lives. Multitasking, they call it. And the psychologists are beginning to think that it might be killing our mental capacity. We spend our lives these days multitasking, focused on so many things that people with no disorders of any kind find themselves unable to concentrate on a single thing. They end up needing multiple things going at once in order to function well. Solitude is the absolute opposite of that. Go be alone with God. Most people say that for the first time span. For some people that's minutes, for some people that's hours, for some people that's days. That they try solitude. They can't achieve calmness of mind and calmness of heart because their brain races about everything that needs to be done, about all of the things that aren't being done because they're practicing this discipline. The key in solitude is to get alone with God. I keep saying that, right? You get the idea. To get alone with God. So that it's you alone with God. And what's on your mind and what's in your heart, what's in your thought, is you alone with God. You're thinking about God, you're listening to Him, and there is a calmness in the brain, in the thought life. Solitude, in that sense, is sort of a mental destination that you have to learn to find. The good news is, for those who will endeavor to practice the spiritual discipline of solitude, you will find that learning your way to solitude has a great reward. It's sort of like driving through, from Nashville to Fly. Once you find your way here, you can always find your way back. Getting there the first time might be a real challenge, though. But once you find it, you can find your way back. Once you find how to get alone with God, to quiet your heart and quiet your mind, and be alone with God, you will find that you won't need hours or days to get there the second time. You'll be able to get there quick. You'll know the way. You'll be able to quiet your heart and quiet your mind and get alone with God in very small moments for refreshing, in order to sort of withdraw from stressful or distressing situations, to find that place in a very small span where you can be alone with God. It's freeing for the soul. It's encouraging to the spirit. It's restoring to the mind and to the body when you can learn to be alone with God. The spiritual discipline of solitude. The spiritual discipline of silence. Again, very countercultural in the times in which we live. Noise all the time. You don't have to ever be quiet these days. You can play your radio at night. Do we still have radios? I'm sorry. You can play your iPod at night, right? You can play your iPod all day long. You can play it in your ears and nobody else can hear what you're listening to, we hope. And if we can, you're playing it too loud. You're soon not going to be able to hear anything. So turn it down just a little bit so it's just you, right? People talking all the time, telephones ringing. Television running, computer video, computer sound. And silence anymore is more than just about what comes in your ears, but what comes in your eyes. We are assaulted day and night with visual images. We have television. We have video. We have DVD. If you're lucky, you have Blu-ray in high definition. It can be more lifelike than ever, you know. Plug for Sony and their format, okay? Silence is hard to find in the world in which we live, but we need it. Even if it makes us uncomfortable at first, we need to learn how to be still, how to get quiet, and listen to God. For that matter, it might be good just to be quiet and learn how to listen to ourselves, to hear our own thoughts. And also to learn to listen for the voice of the Spirit. Silence may be a little easier in terms of timing and planning than solitude, but it does take some work because there's noise all around us, distraction. And the spiritual discipline of silence is very much about not being distracted by what's around you as you think about God. Quietness is at first uncomfortable. Silence longs to be filled. The spiritual discipline of silence will quickly teach you, though, that practicing silence does not mean that you are cut off from God. As a matter of fact, you may find if you learn to be silent before God, that God speaks clearly and strongly in those moments of quiet. It's a discipline to shut down, to be quiet, to go find a place where you're not distracted, where there's not noise, where you're not being bombarded with images. To focus the heart and the mind on God, to be still and be quiet before Him, and listen. And this is different from prayer. We talk about praying and the spiritual discipline of praying or meditating, and in those moments you're actively engaged either in repeating something to focus your thought or in conversation, in dialogue with God, in prayer. Silence, there is no concentrated thought like meditation. There is no conversational tone. Maybe prayer leads you into silence. Maybe meditation leads you into silence. But you get to that place where your heart is quiet. Your mind is quiet. And your senses aren't bringing in a lot of distracting information. And you are still and quiet and receptive to the voice of God. I did mention that often solitude and silence are practiced as disciplines together, and they do seem to always coexist, because when you're practicing solitude, it's so often that you don't have other people around you. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's quiet, but when you practice the discipline of silence, it's quiet. I can't go to my shop and play in my wood and practice silence. I can go to my shop and practice solitude, but I can't go to my shop and practice silence. Just want to be clear that silence really is about being still, being alone, being with God. With a quiet heart and a quiet mind and a receptive spirit, listening, taking in from God. I believe that if you would pick up the challenge of spiritual discipline, maybe silence and solitude aren't where you begin. Maybe you begin with prayer and meditation, talking with God and getting into that habit. Maybe you get into the habit of meditating on God's Word or God's attributes, and you get good at those. You get to where you can focus your thoughts on God, where you can have conversation with God, then step it up a notch. Or moving off the treadmill and into the weight room of spiritual life for intensive training when you start practicing the disciplines of silence and solitude. Being alone with God, being quiet before Him, listening for what He would say through the static. Be still and know that I am God. We live in a world where God is not readily exalted. We don't hear Him proclaimed in the society at large. But the Scripture tells us that He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. And when you learn to be alone with God, when you learn to be silent before Him, you will find God will be exalted in your heart. God will be exalted in your mind. And there is power. That's the thing about spiritual disciplines. There is a well of spiritual power, a great reserve of life in the Spirit and power from God to overcome the challenges of life, to be gained from practicing spiritual disciplines. There is the strength to endure crisis in a way in which you just can't get from any other source. But learning to focus your thoughts on God through meditation, to talk with Him in prayer, to get alone with God and to be quiet before Him. So this Lent, we're talking about spiritual disciplines. I'm challenging you not only to sort of learn the words that describe spiritual disciplines, but to also take time in your weeks, the days ahead as we prepare for Holy Week and for Easter, to practice spiritual disciplines in your life. Let's pray together this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful that we can gather in your house this day. How we pray that you would teach us to discipline ourselves that we might tap into your storehouse of resource for our daily life. Today, how I pray specifically that you would challenge our hearts with the potential of learning to be alone with God through solitude, learning to be quiet before you in silence, to receive what you would give without distraction around us. And I pray that by doing so, we would learn to draw spiritual power, not only for the crises we face, but for the ability to be strength for those around us. Empower us, I pray, as we discipline ourselves, that we might be good witnesses for Jesus Christ in our world. Bless now, I pray, those who have come into your house. I pray that you would bless each one with exactly what they need for the coming days. I ask that you would dismiss us now with your blessings and guide us through the activities of this week. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.